Please turn with me to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 1, right where Dwayne and Peggy read for us just a moment ago. Well, not right where, a few verses beforehand. I want to start with verse 39. And this is right after, in Luke, this is right after Gabriel has come to Mary and told her that she's going to carry the Son of God and that he's going to be the Savior of the world, that he's going to have the throne of his father David, and he shall reign forevermore. Right, Pat? Amen. I love that song. That's good. That's good stuff. He shall reign forevermore, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Hallelujah. So this is right after Mary's heard that, and she believed. And so because she believed, she got a little bit of an answer to her how-to question, not as much of one as maybe she was looking for, but it was enough. Said the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and that was enough for Mary. And you know, that needs to be enough for us. We ask God, how's that going to happen? He's going to say, my spirit does it. That needs, at this point, we need to say, okay. Okay, that's enough. That's cool. We can roll with that. And so in verse 39, it says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. You bet she went with haste. Okay? I mean, she just had the most glorious announcement that the world has ever heard. But it's glorious and she knows it, but also she needs to know what to do now because she is now carrying the Son of God in her womb, but that's not Joseph's boy. And so now what? Now what happens? So you bet she arose with haste and went into the hill country. I love it. It just says, to a city of Judah. You realize we never find out where Zacharias and Elizabeth live. Like, we do not know what city Zacharias and Elizabeth are from, which is probably a pretty good indication that it wasn't much of a city. It was probably something like Nazareth. It was a little village up in the hill country of Judea somewhere. So she goes to Elizabeth's house, and she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now, before I get to what happens next, I think there's something right there for us. The angel had come to Mary and given her a word from the Lord. And he told her that God had visited Elizabeth, that he had given a word to Zacharias, and God had visited Elizabeth, and that she was now 6 months pregnant, for with God nothing will be impossible. In other words, the power of God that Mary had experienced, Zacharias and Elizabeth had also experienced. And so when the angel left Mary, Mary's immediate reaction was to find someone who had also experienced God in the same way that she had. And I think there's a huge valuable lesson in that for us. In order to have deep fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to find those who are walking, who the Lord's got them walking the same road that we're walking. And we need to go find those people. We need to seek them out. You know, we don't need to wait for those sorts of folks to come to us. We need to say, hey, you know what? You know, if I know that Dwayne is walking with the Lord in the same way that I am, then, hey, I need to go seek Dwayne out. We need to be walking together because guess what? The rest of the world around us doesn't get it. Mary can't go next door and have deep fellowship and get help for her situation from the woman next door because the woman next door is going to think she just made up a story to cover up immorality. See what I mean? The world doesn't get it. The world doesn't understand the power of God. Remember when Jesus was talking with the Pharisees years later, and he said, not the Pharisees, I'm sorry, the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were trying to trap him concerning the resurrection of the dead because Sadducees didn't believe that the dead rise. And Jesus looks at them and says, you do err, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. And these were religious people. But they did not understand the scriptures nor the power of God. And so when we have experienced the power of God and he's opened his word to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we need to seek those out whom he has also shown himself to and whom he has also opened his word to by the power of the Spirit. And that's who we need to have fellowship with. That's who we need to share with. Because if you try to have fellowship with those who don't understand that, it's going to fall flat. And you're going to need that fellowship. We all are. So she goes to their house, to Zacharias and Elizabeth's house, and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. I love it. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, as we already read, as Dwayne read, it had been promised that John was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. And so it is. John is filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb, which, by the way, means that that is not a blob of tissue in Elizabeth's womb. That is a child. That is a human being with a spirit. And in this particular instance, he has been filled with the Spirit of God in his mother's womb. And when Mary enters the room and her voice is uttered, the baby John in Elizabeth's womb recognizes the voice of Mary, and the Holy Spirit that's filling John, guess what? Recognizes himself in Mary's womb. Because when Mary entered the room, God entered the room in her. And John recognized the presence of his Lord in the womb and leaped for joy because of it. See, babies have no filter. When babies are happy, they cackle. When they get excited, they jump. When they are sad, they cry. Babies are going to let you know what they are thinking and what they are feeling. And oh, that we would be unfiltered in that way in the presence of our Lord. We need to be. Because there's no point in trying to have a filter anyway. He sees it all. So when we are aware of his presence, our filters need to go out the window in his presence. We need to leap for joy as John leaped. Need to pour out our hearts to him and not care what anybody says or thinks. Remember when David was dancing before the ark and he came home and his wife said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today?" And David said, "I will become even more undignified than this in praising the Lord." We don't need to care one iota who is in the room. If the President of the United States was sitting right there, we shouldn't care to be jumping and dancing up and down these aisles while praising the Lord God Almighty. John leaped for joy in his mother's womb when he heard Mary's voice. And then Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. See, it's contagious. It's contagious. Letting the Spirit have his way is contagious. If one person lets the Spirit have his way, then the Spirit has a way of spilling over onto other people around. So John leaps, and then Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit. And Elizabeth speaks in verse 42, and then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Now listen. Notice what Elizabeth did not say. Mary, we've got a hard road to walk, girl. I'm old. I'm about to have a baby. I'm not real excited about that. That's kind of frightening. And you know the trouble you're going to be in? This could be scary. This could be frightening. I don't know if that man of yours is going to take this or not. That is not where she went. She could have gone there, but that is not where she went. And this is important because when we are looking for the kind of people to be around, this is what we need to look for. The kind of people who are filled with the Spirit of God, how do they talk? They talk this way. They talk about, one, blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed. Talk about being blessed, which is a result of believing. But then when you boil it down, believing what? The word which was told her from the Lord. The people who are full of the Spirit of God, they talk about a few things. They talk about the Word of God. They want to talk about the Word of God. And you can tell really fast when you sit down with someone, you go out to lunch, you have somebody over to your house, you go over to their house, you're sitting, you're talking, you can tell really quick, are these people into God or not? Because if people are into God, then they want to talk about God. You talk about what you're into. We talk about what we're excited about. And if we find ourselves spending all of our time talking about Kentucky, politics, I don't know, food, games, TV, cars, whatever, let me tell you what we're not excited about. God Almighty. I don't mean you never talk about that stuff. But God is constantly coming up in the conversation. His word is constantly coming up in the conversation. And if it's not, then that's a pretty good indication that his word, which is the basis of all of this for Mary and Elizabeth, his word is not being put in us enough to come out of us. It's like a fire. If you are going to build a fire and keep it going, what do you have to do? Every now and again, you got to put another log on. You got to make sure that that fire continues to burn. And so it is with us and with the Word of God. We've got to be in it. We've got to soak ourselves in it. And then as we do that, when you do that, and that's the trick, you know, people say, well, how do I get to where I'm thinking about it? Just read. Read the Word. Read the Word. Read, soak in it until you are like a piece of meat that has been marinated in the stuff. And then when the heat gets turned up, it just bubbles out of you. But this is what people who are filled with the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, this is what they talk like. They talk about the Word of God. They talk about believing the Word of God. And they talk about the results of believing the Word of God. The blessings that come as a result of believing the Word of God. This is what people who are full of the Holy Spirit look like. And this is the sort of people that we need to be. And it's the sort of people that we need to seek out. This is who we need to have fellowship with. But Elizabeth tells her there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her by the Lord. It's not that they're ignoring the fact that part of this is going to be hard. But they are keeping their eyes fixed on the prize. And that's how we need to be. And that's the kind of people we need to surround ourselves with. And you know, there's more to it There's more to it than just saying, well, we need to surround ourselves with people who think positively. So you can think positively, but if your positive thinking is not based upon the Word of God, then it doesn't count. Because all that you're doing then is trying to lift yourself up by your own bootstraps. If you've ever tried to lift a bathtub by standing in it, it just doesn't work. And apart from the Word of God, that's what anyone will be trying to do. So it's not just positive thinking. It is looking at, speaking out, and soaking in the promises and the Word of God, because that is sure. That is not a wish. That is a rock that we can base our lives on. So in verse 46, and Mary said, and this is the beauty of it too, because again, it's contagious. John's filled with the Spirit. Elizabeth's filled with the Spirit. And then Mary burst out. It's contagious. Being excited about God is contagious in a good way. In verse 46, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Starts out with God. My soul magnifies the Lord. Now, when she says magnifies, there's two ways that you can magnify something. You can take something that's really small, like this water bottle lid, and you can put a magnifying glass on it, and then it will look bigger, and you can see more detail. You can also take a telescope and point it at the moon. And then the moon, which appears small, okay, to the naked eye, when you put a powerful telescope on it, you will be able to see a lot more detail, because actually that's a lot bigger than you thought it was before you put the telescope on it. That's the kind of magnifying that Mary is talking about. God is not small, so we have to put a magnifying glass on him to see more detail. God is huge. But we just get a glimpse of him. But if we stick the telescope of his word on our heart and start looking at him, he gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. We see how great our God truly is. And guess what? As we see him look bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, all of the worries and all of the fears and all of the problems, well, they start looking smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Yeah. Brings him in to where we can see him. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit does. He opens our eyes so that we can see. And we have to constantly do that. Constantly do that. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. My spirit has rejoiced. Not just my spirit is rejoicing now. My spirit has rejoiced. Mary's been rejoicing since the angel visited her. And now that she gets together with Elizabeth, it is just like dynamite. Boom. And they are both going on and on about the greatness of God. This is a huge key for the people of God. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. We saw each other last Sunday. Now, from Monday to Saturday night, has our spirit rejoiced in God our Savior or not? If our spirit has been rejoicing in God our Savior Monday through Saturday, then when we come in here together on Sunday mornings, it's electric. Because if we've been worshiping all week and we just gather together and worship together corporately, well, then it's like the Holy Spirit in John bumping into the Holy Spirit in Jesus. And it just boom. But if we spend Monday through Saturday looking at the waves, if we spend Monday through Saturday looking at the problem and not rejoicing in God our Savior, then when we come in here on Sunday mornings, what we're looking for is, help me give me something to get me from, you know, next Monday to Saturday until I come in here Sunday. That's not the point. That is not the point. The point of gathering together is to worship the Lord. To worship the Lord and to encourage each other and to be able to grow. Sunday mornings do not need to be primarily, a lifeline so that somehow we can just make it till next Sunday. That is not how God designed us to operate as the people of God. Now, yeah, there are those times. I've been through them. You've been through them. We have all been through them, okay, where it was a hard week, okay? And we took shot after shot after shot, and we need to check and see because we almost feel like maybe there's a hole in the shield someplace, and we come in here, and yeah, we need to be lifted up by our brothers and sisters. But listen, that can't be all of us every week. One thing, God doesn't design it to be that way, okay? God doesn't put on us more than we can bear. And so we need to be rejoicing all throughout the week in the Lord. What's Paul say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Say, you don't know what's going on. Frankly, I don't care. Rejoice in the Lord. I do care. You can come talk to me and I'll pray with you and I'll talk with you and do what I can to help you. But as far as rejoicing in the Lord, I don't care. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Why? Because He is worthy of rejoicing in. He is worthy. And that'll transform our lives, our individual lives, and it'll transform how we worship as a church too. My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Why? For He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. So much in there. He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Where does Mary's joy germinate, so to speak? From recognizing that she is lowly. From recognizing that she does not have in and of herself the ability to save herself, the strength to accomplish what God has called her to. She says, He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And if we are ever going to experience the power of God the way He intends us to experience it, then we need to get to the point where we realize that we need to quit trying. Because it's not just that we are weak. Apart from Him, we are dead. Says the old man is crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And so we need to reach the point where we realize, and this is revelation by the Holy Spirit. We can't study the Scripture enough and just memorize it and get it in our heads enough for this to click. This has to be the Spirit revealing it to us. That we're not just weak, we're dead. That when Jesus died, we died. And because we're dead, apart from Him, we can do nothing. And so when we reach that point, well, then we're ready to let God do His thing and not gum it up. You know, have you ever worked with a little kid in trying to get something done, whether it's cleaning or building something or, you know, Or cooking something? Okay, we've all been there, and it's a lot of fun. okay? It's a lot of fun to watch them help when they're not really helping, okay? But they feel like they're helping, all right? And you're giving them things to do, and they're having the biggest time, and you're having the biggest time. But listen, you know how much quicker it would be? You know how much quicker it would get done if they weren't helping? Sure. Listen, that's us and God. That is us and God. And when we get to the point where we realize that and we just back off and say, you know, Lord, all my little doings here are not actually helping. I realize I can't do this at all. You do it. I will watch you do it and praise you for it. Then he's got something to work with. And it's going to happen a lot quicker that way. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant, because then, once we realize where we're really at, then we realize that he who is mighty has done great things for me. It's always the pattern throughout Scripture and throughout history with the people of God. When we get to that point of, Lord, it's all on you, well then, that's when he says, I know, stand back and watch. Because he is mighty. Our God is mighty to save. Jonathan say, the arm of the Lord is not shortened to save by many or by few. He is mighty. And holy is his name. Oh, I love it. Before I get there, let's back up. She says, for behold, he's regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Now, last year, we talked some about the root of Mary's name. I won't go into a bunch of detail on that. Just the fact that the root of the name Mary actually means bitter. And God has turned this around now, because now anytime you hear the name Mary, you think blessed, like blessed beyond measure, blessed. She carried the Savior of the world. So God changed that around. But look at Mary's mindset. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Who? Mary was not thinking about herself. Mary was thinking years down the road, and decades, and centuries, and millennia down the road. All generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. Mary's mindset was, what God is doing in my life is going to affect people from now on. I need that mindset. We all need that mindset. When things come into our lives, be they challenging or be they exciting, we need to look at them and understand and realize and think about, okay, how is my response to this situation going to affect my children, my great-grandchildren, my relatives, my church, my city, my state, my nation, the earth, 300 years from now? When that's our mindset, you just live differently. You just live differently. Sometimes things that would seemingly be a big deal just aren't. They just really aren't. And sometimes the things that we say and the things that we do and the things that we spend our time on will change. Because if we are spending our lives with the thought that I am wanting to lay a foundation and be an encouragement for somebody who I'll never meet this side of eternity, But I want them to be able to look back on my life and say, they were blessed by the Lord. I want to walk like that. You know, I do want to leave a legacy. And I love Casting Crowns. I love so much of what Casting Crowns does. But I have to say, I disagree with Mark Hall. I do want to leave a legacy. I do want them to remember me. For the sake of the name of Jesus. So yeah, I get it. I'm with him. I'm with Mark. It is. I just want him to remember Jesus. But listen, we do need to leave legacies. We need to leave legacies. We need people to be able to look back and say, you know what? My great grandfather walked with God through this situation, and this is how God came through. He stood on his word. God came through for him. He'll come through for me. It is important to think years down the road. And listen, what kind of an example are we leaving for those who come after us? If fast forward into the future, 100 years, and somebody gets on our social media profile, what is going to be their impression of our walk with God and our concept of life? Food for thought. All generations will call me blessed. He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy, holy is his name. Oh, holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Oh, we need this. I need this. The church needs this. The church in America needs this. Holy is his name. His mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. People want to talk about the mercy of God all the time. God is merciful. God is love. God is forgiving. Well, yes, he is. His mercy is on those who fear him. People who think that they can live any way they want to, with no regard for God or his word, and expect to receive his mercy, are wrong. They're wrong. They're going to find out one day that they're wrong. And it is the most hateful thing that we could possibly do to let them go on thinking that. We have to, as the people of God, stand up and say, yes, God is merciful to those who fear him. So we're not, I just thought we weren't supposed to be afraid of God. I don't know what Bible you've been reading. Sinners should be afraid of God. Sinners should be scared to death of Almighty God, because holy is his name. He made the world. He makes the rules. And he's written them down. And if you choose to ignore them, you should fear God, because it will not go well with you. Yes, yeah, sinners should be terrified of Almighty God, which is what makes Christmas so beautiful. Because that Almighty, fearsome God, whose wrath will be poured out on sin, chose to pour it out on his own son. So that we would not have to take it. So yes, God is love. But until we understand the holiness of God, and there is a healthy fear of God, then the love of God and the mercy of God don't mean anything. Because what is mercy if there's no punishment that we need mercy to escape? And this is the mistake that I think the church has made for a long, long, long time with how we teach children. For too long, we have taught children that God is love, that God is merciful, that God cares for them, that God wants to help them. All those things are true. But Mary said His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. And so within children must be instilled the fear of a holy God, or that mercy is not going to mean anything to them. That cross is not going to mean anything to them. And let's look, that's what we've got now. You can talk about Jesus loving, that's great. But if you once say God will judge, oh no. God wouldn't do that. God will do that. He will do that. And we've got to know that. You got to know that God is fearsome and that He is holy. He is set apart. He is different. He is not a man that He should lie, His word says. He is not a man that He should break His word. God is not a man. He is God. And there's only one. And He is not made in our image. We are made in His. And oh, we need to teach children that. We really, honestly, children need to hear as much about the Ten Commandments as they do about Jesus, because one makes no sense without the other. Until we are prepared in our hearts to realize, I can't keep those things. I tried, and I tried again, and I tried again, and I can't keep it. Well, you know what that means? It means you're under the wrath of Almighty God. And that means that you need a Savior. And then all of a sudden, when you hear that the angel told Joseph, name Him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. Well, then Jesus and Christmas all of a sudden is a glorious, glorious thing. His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm, because Mary had no strength in hers. We got to know that the foes that we come up against in life, our arm holds no strength to defeat them in and of ourselves. Filled with the Spirit of God, we have authority over them. Praise the Lord. But it is only because of the Spirit of God and the authority of the name of Jesus. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. Here's Herod. Put in place illegally by an emperor who rules the known world. And everybody is playing their political games. And they got an iron clamp on this whole thing. And here Almighty God sends an angel to a teenage girl and says, you're going to bear the Lord of all. Didn't come to a palace. didn't come anywhere that Herod or the emperor would even think to think about. Came to a little carpenter's fiance in Nazareth and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to inherit the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there will be no end. That is how God works. God does not use the mighty on earth to accomplish the advancement of his kingdom and his gospel. Because if he did, then look what it says. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. See, if you use someone who was strong in their own mind to accomplish something, then he gets no glory for it. Somebody who's strong at something, and everybody looks and say, man, they can do it. And then they do it and say, yeah, see, I told you he'd do it. I knew he'd do it. And God came into that picture where? Why do we all like cheering for underdogs during the NCAA tournament? Because everybody's saying, oh, that number two seed, they're going to crush those poor boys. And then when they hit the buzzer shot and beat him by 2 points, it's like, yeah! That's how God does things. That's who he is. He scatters the proud in the imagination of their heart. God will not use proud people. He won't. The only way he uses proud people is to show how he brings them down. So, we better all be searching our hearts and asking the Lord to rid us of any pride in them. Because he will not use proud people. He uses those like Mary who acknowledge that they have no hope on their own, but that God is mighty and that he can do it. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. When we acknowledge our lowliness, that's when God exalts. That's when he receives glory. That's when we don't forget where he brought us from. Therefore, we never rob him of his glory. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, it says. Verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Ooh. 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 The church in the United States of America looks all over the world and sees God doing great and awesome things, with people coming to know him in droves and miracles taking place. And we say, why isn't that going on here? He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Bottom line is, we don't think we need him, not really. We can say we think we need him, but we sneeze and we run to the doctor. We, you know, we need something, we can go find it somewhere. I'm afraid the people of God, by and large, this is a general statement. I hope there's a lot of us in this room that this general statement does not apply to. But by and large, I'm afraid the people of God are really not hungry for God, because truthfully, we're pretty comfortable. We're pretty comfortable. By any standard, around the world, we are rich. You got clothes on? Got 20 bucks? You're richer than most of the people on the planet. Period. So you don't know about my vehicle. Does it run? So, boy, my house needs so much work. You got a house? Praise God that Jesus said it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And the disciples said, well, if that's true, then who can be saved? And God said, and Jesus said, with men it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Thank the Lord. Because all the blessings that we have are because of Him. Because of Him, because we've walked with Him, because people who went before us, like Mary, who realized that what they were going to do was going to affect people hundreds of years from now, they walked with Him, and we're still walking in those blessings. And it is possible to do both, okay? It is possible to have the temporal blessings of living according to the Word of God and maintaining a spiritual hunger and need for God. That is possible. I know people. I know people in this room who do that. It is possible. But oh, how careful we've got to be. How much we have to watch ourselves that we're not just starting to lose that hunger for God, because for the most part we feel like we can go find it somewhere else. He has filled the hungry with good things. How hungry are we for God and His presence and His power? Because the rich He'll send away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to Abraham, to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. See, God made a promise a long time ago to Abraham that his descendants would be like the stars of heaven, like the sand of the seashore, and that in him all nations of the earth would be blessed. Made a promise to a descendant of Abraham named David that one would sit on his throne and would rule over all, and his kingdom would have no end. Those promises were hundreds of years back, thousands of years back when Mary spoke this. And she said, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. God never forgets His word. Never forgets His word. He's not like us, where we say something and then 2 weeks later we're talking and somebody said, you said that. I said, no, I didn't. Well, yeah, we did. Does anybody have like that one person in your life that just like forgets everything they say? Or are you that one person? You know, and you just and somebody said, you said that last week. I'm like, huh? Thank God, God is not like that. God never forgets His word. He never forgets when He has said something, and what He has said, He will accomplish. He will fulfill. His promises are good for eternity. And they are just as valid now for His people as they were then for His people. Because if you recall, in the book of Ephesians, it says that He grafted us in to Israel. The promises of God are ours. He helped his people then. He will help his people now. But we can't pull his help if we don't know what he promised. And so, like Mary, our soul needs to magnify the Lord, and our spirit needs to rejoice in God, our Savior, because his name is holy and his mercy is on those who fear him. Do we fear him? Do we fear God? See, if you fear God, you'll fear no man. But if you don't fear God, you'll fear every man. Do we fear him? Do we hunger for him? Is he our only hope and we know it? Well, then we'll see him move. If you're here this morning and you've heard that God is love, but maybe you hadn't heard that God is holy, that God has wrath that will be poured out on sin. Let me tell you, if you do not put your trust in the Son of God, who took the wrath of God for you, if you do not put your trust in him, then one day you will experience the wrath of God. It will be poured out on you in full fury. And you will have no excuse because you rejected the way to escape the wrath of God and to come from being an enemy of God into being his child, into being his friend, and go from being under his wrath to being inundated with his blessings. There will be no excuses for anybody in that day. So why don't you put your trust in Jesus today? Why don't you repent of your sin and acknowledge that God is holy and that Jesus is the only way to him? Why don't you make that today? At church, let's just commit to asking the Lord to keep us hungry for him, to keep us reminded of the fact that apart from him, we can do nothing, but his arm is mighty and he will accomplish it, and all of the praise will go to his holy name. So, Father, thank you that your name is holy. Thank you, Lord, that your arm is mighty, that you cast down the proud, that you exalt the lowly. We rejoice, our spirit rejoices with Mary this morning in you. We magnify you for who you are and the fact that you sent your own Son into this world to dwell as one of us, to go through what we go through, to experience what we experience, and to die for us, that we might move from being under your wrath to being under the shadow of your wing. What a beautiful thing. And I pray we wouldn't take it for granted. I pray the wonder of it would just explode in our hearts and in our minds this Christmas time. And that we would truly rejoice this year. And that as we wrap up this year and we go into 2020, a whole new decade, that it would be a decade, Father, of being hungry for you, of acknowledging our lowliness, of acknowledging the might of your hand, and seeing you do great things for us, that we might give you all of the praise and all of the glory for, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand. If you got business with the Lord, if you need prayer, because that God, that same God, is right here, right now, and he stands ready to answer all who will cry out to him. So if you need him, you need to surrender your life to him, you need prayed over, spirit, soul, or body, you know somebody who needs prayed over, come on up. We want to pray with you. We want to introduce you to this mighty God, the Son of God. His name is Jesus, and he is good.